a time to be alive right now. My goodness. Wow. So much beauty. So much uncertainty at the same time. So much sort of chaotic and frenetic energy. So much remembering. So much of all of it. Like, gosh, just what an incredible time to be alive right now. There's a lot going on in the world, especially if you pay attention even a tiny bit geopolitically. If you're just even slightly aware, you know that there's a lot going on in the world right now. And at one level, it might be easy to say, don't even look into it. Don't feed it at all. And I agree. And at the same time, I think we need to be at least somewhat aware of what the people around us are co-creating, unless that is we're surrounded by a large amount of like-minded, like-hearted people who are pointing their awareness towards creating and birthing this new paradigm that we all know is possible. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about during this episode. There's going to be a monologue where I'm just going to share my perspective on all this, on everything that's going on. And to sort of frame the conversation, give context on where my perspective is built by, it's built by what I know to be true, or what I've come to understand based on tuning deeply into my own heart. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect or that I'm there all the time, but when I am in that space, I remember deeply who I am. And the more that I gather with like-minded, like-hearted people, like at events like Confluence, which I'm just coming off of, the more I'm reminded of who I truly am. And by me remembering who I truly am, I'm helping the people around me remember who they truly are. And that's sort of the frame of mind and frame of heart that I'm coming from before I dive into this conversation. And so I've been sharing my perspective on what's going on in the world, my unique flavor of it, from that frame of mind on my social media channels for those who follow me on Instagram, X, Facebook, or Telegram. I've been sharing my perspective there. And so what I'm going to do here is basically create a video version of those musings that I've shared on social media. And if you frequently tune into this podcast, I think you will really enjoy this episode, because I'm going to be drawing from so many of the other conversations that I've had on other episodes with so many other people during this one. So during the COVID era, there was a massive segment of people who, for the first time, were starting to question not just one party, not just one politician, but the entire paradigm of government itself and whether government was necessary. They were beginning to see that maybe centralized power wasn't the solution, and they were exploring decentralization, parallel economies, private membership associations, voluntary communities, natural law, and ways to live in alignment with sovereignty outside of top-down control structures. But then Trump came along, and whether intentionally or not, served as the perfect psychological release valve. By wrapping his messaging in anti-globalist language, freedom rhetoric, and quote, drain the swamp slogans, while constantly pointing to the obviously corrupt and inept Democratic politicians, which I think was intentional for them to sort of act as the contrast for people to buy into this false dilemma, he pulled an entire segment of people right back into the very systems they were starting to detach from. Instead of continuing to seek solutions outside of government, many reverted back to the same old pattern: outsource power to another politician, trust that this time the state will fix itself so long as the quote right guy is in charge. And I think that's actually largely why RFK was sort of brought in to the Trump administration, because that would take the people who are sort of teetering on the edge, like, nah, I still don't trust Trump based on what happened from 2016 through 2020. I don't know about him. It would pull that crowd in to the same thing that I'm referring to here. So in doing so, many of the same people who were once passionately exploring decentralization and self-governance now display little to no interest in building outside the system. Everything becomes about electing Trump, defending MAGA or MAHA or RFK or any of these other people on Trump's administration, and placing faith back in centralized power structures as if the problem was merely who controlled them, not that they exist and we buy into them in the first place. And that's precisely how controlled opposition works. And I'm not claiming with certainty that any of the people that I just named are indeed controlled opposition. That's not what I'm saying here. But I can't help but notice that many of the tactics that I've come to understand controlled opposition use are being used by the Trump administration. You don't have to crush a rebellion if you can simply redirect it, and you don't need mass censorship if you can give the awakening crowd a hero to follow so they voluntarily re-enter the very system they're beginning to exit. From the beginning, Trump was positioned as the anti-establishment savior, and it's now becoming clearer than ever why. They knew the people waking up to the system, those who value freedom, question government, value bodily autonomy, were never going to accept biometric surveillance, expanded wars, digital IDs, Palantir's domestic surveillance, or digital currency slavery if it came from the left. But as I said, if you wrap it up in anti-globalist language, attach it to a quote freedom fighter persona, and present him as the one taking down the deep state, millions would not only accept these things, they'd defend them vehemently. That's how you hijack a freedom movement without ever needing to crush it directly. It's a perfect example of controlling the opposition. And I know there's another segment of who were Trump supporters, who were RFK supporters, who are now feeling incredibly demoralized because of what they are doing, especially Trump, I'll say, and I would also throw RFK in that, defending the measles vaccine and things like this and actually advocating for the measles vaccine. But the point is, there's a large segment of people who are supporting that paradigm who voted, who are like starting to question government. And then when they saw RFK and Trump aligned together, like, oh, I'm throwing my ring in the hat again. I'm going to go ahead and give them my vote. I have faith in the system again. I have faith in them to be able to change the system from the inside. And now they're feeling very demoralized. And they feel hopeless, and they feel like, oh, we have no one fighting for us. We have no one that's coming to save us, whether they're using that language or not. But we're going to discuss that during this. Do you need saving? Do you need someone, quote, in the system fighting for you? We're going to continue that monologue, maybe dialogue if you're tuning in to this conversation and, reflecting back to me maybe. But now here we are. The stage is fully set. Iran and any nation supporting Iran is labeled as the enemy. Pro-Palestinian voices or anyone opposing genocide are being framed as violent extremists. Or anyone criticizing the Israeli government just saying that they don't agree with what they're doing, they're getting smeared as anti-Semitic or national security threat. Trump is positioned as the one you can trust, the quote anti-establishment hero fighting the globalists, while quietly pushing the very same systems his base thinks he's dismantling. A large segment of the freedom movement has been psychologically captured, and it is obvious, at least to me. And all that's left now is some sort of trigger, an emotional trigger. And if recent history regarding these types of narrative is any indication, that trigger likely comes in the form of some type of event, a planned attack on U.S. soil or U.S. military bases abroad, framed as, quote, Iranian-backed Islamic terrorists, but orchestrated behind the scenes by shadowy agencies like the CIA and Mossad. And just to be clear, that is not the narrative that I'm attached to, nor am I focusing my awareness on it. I'll address that more extensively later in this episode. And I also think that because so many people are calling out the reality, I won't say reality, calling out the probability or possibility of a false flag attack coming, they may choose a different tactic because there's a lot of people on Twitter and elsewhere calling it out because of historical precedent. But if something like that does happen, public sentiment flips overnight. People get emotionally hijacked and start demanding action. And that's when the next phase rolls out. Full support for U.S. military involvement in the Middle East, surveillance expansion justified under, quote, wartime necessity, biometric tracking, facial recognition, and digital IDs rolled out as, quote, security measures. Censorship of dissent framed as, quote, national unity. We're already seeing the sort of buildup towards that. Again, anyone who is simply just saying, hey, we don't want the U.S. government to back Israel's war, or we disagree with Israel's war, we disagree with what Israel is doing with respect to Palestine or Iran. A lot of those people are already being framed as anti-Semitic. And again, anti-Semitism is something that the Trump administration seems to be really cracking down on, and conflating criticism of any of those things that I just named with being hostile or being evil towards people who are Jewish. In Palantir's full surveillance grid activated to monitor Americans under the banner of, quote, preventing domestic terrorism. And as the economy destabilizes under the weight of war, digital currencies introduced as the, quote, safe, stable solution to secure the financial system and protect against, quote, cyber threats. Every piece of this is already built and has been being built over the course of the last, I don't know how long really, but at the very least, since I started noticing those towers popping up in 2020 with the lockdowns, and they just need the emotional consent at this point. And the false flag, if it happens, isn't just about launching another war. That's the front-facing narrative. The real objective is to activate the full centralized technocratic biometric financial control grid with full public buy-in. It's the same play every time. Fear, crisis, consent, control, problem, reaction, solution. And it can all feel incredibly overwhelming because it's designed to. But here's the truth. Their control only works if we keep playing the game. And I know a lot of people hear that. What do you mean by playing the game? So what do we actually do? And I cover that in an episode that I recorded with Derek Brose, but we're going to discuss that for the rest of this episode. I know everything that I just said up until this point may have you sort of feeling anxious and tight. Take a breath. Take a breath. I'll do it with you. We're going to get into what I believe is the antidote to everything that is occurring. I'm not saying that I have it all figured out, nor that I have the best approach. But if what I experienced at Confluence, if what I discuss with any of the incredible people that I feature on this podcast is any indication of our true power, of who we truly are at our core, of what is possible for us, then I think it's important to share it. Important to reframe what's occurring from that lens. So what do? We withdraw consent physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We stop feeding fear. We stop reacting emotionally to their narratives. We stop engaging in this left versus right dialectic. We stop blackpilling. We unplug from the psychological game. We remember who we are. We know who we are at our core, and we act from that knowing. That's the foundation, and that's the theme. Remembering who we are, knowing who we are, that keeps coming up for me. And it's so interesting. During Confluence, it was a quiet, subtle thing that was recurring in the back of my mind that I've been reflecting on. And those same sentiments came out in so many of the presentations during Confluence. Remember who we are. I think that's the most important piece. And I've talked about this on other episodes. Who we truly are deep down is something you can't describe in words. It's ineffable. The moment you name it, it's not it, but it's something that you feel. It's something that you know deep inside of you. And I think if you get quiet consistently, or if you've gotten quiet consistently, you reflect back to a time when you just had a huge emotional release and you've sort of peeled back the layers of that onion to get to the core of your being, you felt it. You felt it before. If you really reflect in your life, I know you felt before this feeling deep inside of you, who you truly are. And if you haven't felt it before, I invite you to have a consistent practice of getting quiet, not doing any specific technique necessarily, although those techniques can be helpful, whether it's transcendental meditation or Kundalini yoga or just another type of meditation, breath work, qigong. But you're not chasing the breath. It's helping you to point to something deeper inside of you, who you truly are. And from that foundation, we build. We get local. We build real relationships, real community, real resilience. We trade, grow, barter, prepare. We explore alternative ways of relating to the dying government system and build parallel structures rooted in a new way of organizing and structuring society. We fortify spiritually, nervous system sovereignty, like I've discussed with Irene Lyon, prayer, stillness, all those things that I just named, discernment. Because if we're reactive, we're much easier to control. If we're black-pilled, We're giving our thought energy perpetually to the paradigm that we don't want to create. But if we're grounded, remembering who we are, we're useless to their game. We get as independent as possible financially, physically, emotionally. The less dependent we are, the less leverage they have. We speak what is true, not to convince everyone, but to activate the ones who are already on the edge of getting it. And yes, some of us are exploring common law processes, legal notices, status corrections, trust structures, paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. That's valid. We explore all those things too. There's a time and a place for all that. But here's the really important piece, going back to what I said earlier. True freedom, true sovereignty does not come from the paperwork. It comes from here within you first. It has to come from within first. So do that paperwork. If it calls you, explore alternative options. I've discussed many of them on this show, but don't do it from fear and don't do it from trying to fight against the system. Remember who you are first. But here's the real kicker, and this is really difficult for people to wrap their minds around, but it really does boil down to this at the end of the day. The entire control structure that is being built and the so-called authority figures who are backing it and building it require our individual, and more importantly, collective of individual beliefs in order to uphold what they're doing and perpetuate what they're doing. Let's put it this way. If the followers stopped following orders, and if the enforcers stopped enforcing orders because they no longer acknowledged the quote authority, then how would any of these men and women in so-called positions of authority carry out their agendas and their plans? It would literally be impossible. Like, we can use a practical example. And I know this is much easier said than done, but that's why I share this message of continuing to remember who we are. That's why I share the messages that I share on this podcast. Let's take, for example, someone who was ordered, or maybe a whole unit in the military that is ordered to do something. What if they no longer acknowledge the authority of the individual? They no longer believed in the legitimacy of the individual who is telling them what to do, and simply acted from no longer believing that other men and women have a right to tell them what to do, especially the right to murder innocent people. There's a place for self-defense. And of course, if you study the non-aggression principle and voluntarist principles, you know that. But I'm talking about from an aggression, from initiating aggression standpoint. What if they simply said, what if they stopped believing? What if they stopped believing in the authorities? What happens? Like, it really does boil down to that at the end of the day. So the more of us that across the world stop buying into the belief that other men and women have a right to tell other men and women what to do, to dictate, to give commands, to initiate acts of aggression against them, it slowly whittles away at their ability to bring to fruition this crazy ass reality that they're trying to create. The entire system depends on our belief in it. That's it. That's the linchpin. And dissolving that belief becomes infinitely easier when you know you're not doing it alone. It becomes so much easier when you have other people around you who you are building this new paradigm with. Take, for example, a law firm where the COVID vaccine mandate was attempted to be pushed on that law firm. If one person in that law firm stood up, it was really, really difficult. But if multiple people in that law firm said, no, we're just going to leave and we're no longer going to work here anymore, you're going to have to hire other people. Or if all the people inside that law firm stood up and said, no, we're not doing this anymore, that law firm would change its tune real quick, really fast. And that's the point. It does come back to belief at the end of the day. But I recognize it's much easier to begin to imagine, to look into, explore, to start creatively thinking and building and connect into your heart when you're doing it with others rather than doing it alone. And that is why I'm so big lately on building in-person community. That's why over the last 3 years, we've been building what we've been building for the way forward. I would have launched what I've been building in 2021 when I first came up with the idea, if I could, but it's been a process to build the platform that we now have. Building the solutions requires finding like-minded, like-hearted people in your local vicinity. It's not enough to have a virtual digital version of it. It's not enough to have a virtual digital version of community. We'll get to that in a little bit. When you're isolated, when it feels like no one around you sees what you see, it's super easy to slip into survival mode. It's super easy to obsess on what, quote, they are doing. It's super easy to be in a perpetual fight, flight, or freeze state. It's super easy to have your thought energy hijacked to help co-create what the social engineers and the so-called parasitic class are trying to bring into fruition. But when you're living and surrounded by others who are aligned and remembering who they truly are and committed to living differently and see the beautiful paradigm that is possible, something in you shifts deeply. For anyone who's been to Confluence or anyone who's been to Music and Sky, you know this. It becomes so much easier to be you authentically, to live fully in coherence. That's why community isn't just a nice idea. It's not a luxury. It's essential. And what's so crazy is I put out a series of polls on my social media channels asking, you found your like-minded health and freedom community online, but are you struggling to find your like-minded health and freedom community in person? And 95% of people responded, they're struggling to find their like-minded health and freedom community in person. And if we're serious about sovereignty, about healing, about building this new paradigm, about coherence, then we need each other in real life. And even if none of this geopolitical chaos was happening, even if there were no war threats, no digital surveillance grid, no collapsing systems, it would still be essential to gather and form like-minded community, because deep down, we all know that modern life isn't it. The way we're living, isolated, fragmented, disconnected from the earth and from each other, it doesn't feel right deep down inside. And we know that. Gathering and forming community with like-hearted people isn't just about preparation for what might happen. It's a return to who we actually are. Most of us already know Shilajit is powerful. It's been used for thousands of years for energy, mental clarity, and overall vitality. But here's the problem. Most companies offering Shilajit are cutting corners. They're using fillers, skipping proper testing, and even hiding heavy metals like lead and arsenic behind fancy marketing and Instagram influencers. Dr. Andy Kaufman saw this happening and decided enough was enough. As an MIT biology graduate and tireless advocate for health freedom, he spent years researching and testing dozens of different Shilajit sources. And what he found was shocking: widespread contamination, fake lab reports, and murky supply chains everywhere he looked. And in response, he decided to create his own Shilajit, Authentica Shilajit, sourced from over 16,000 feet in the Himalayas, rigorously tested for purity, and backed by complete transparency. No fillers, no mystery ingredients, just the real deal. Shilajit you can actually trust and feel from the first serving. And listen, out of all the natural health doctors out there, Dr. Andy Kaufman is one of the most brilliant, in-depth researchers I know. If he recommends something, I'm definitely going to pay more attention. So if you're taking Shilajit already but have that gut feeling that something's just off, you're probably right. Trust that instinct and check out medauthentica.com/wayforward, or just head to the show notes and be sure to use code WAYFORWARD for 10% off your first order. Most healthcare today operates on an outdated mechanistic model, treating the body like a battlefield rather than a self-healing system. You wait months for an appointment only to receive a rushed diagnosis that labels you rather than truly understanding your unique health. Even in holistic health, many practitioners rely on endless lab tests and supplement protocols, addressing symptoms instead of the root cause. And the result? Another prescription or supplement regimen that merely suppresses or masks symptoms rather than facilitating true healing, whether the imbalance was physical, emotional, energetic, or a mix of all three. And that's why Dr. Tom Cowan co-founded the New Biology Clinic, to offer something radically different. As one of the most respected natural health doctors in the world, Dr. Cowan has spent decades challenging conventional medicine and advancing a deeper understanding of human biology, water, and natural health. His work isn't just about rejecting the mainstream. It's about offering a more truthful, biologically coherent approach for healing. The New Biology Clinic recognizes that health isn't about fighting disease, it's about restoring balance. You're not a diagnosis. You're an individual with a unique story, and healing should honor that. With virtual consultations available worldwide, the clinic offers a flat rate monthly membership that gives you direct access to practitioners who take the time to actually listen. Members also get exclusive health live streams, a resource library, and live sessions covering everything from biofield tuning and breathwork to movement and meditation, all designed to support whole body healing. And if you're not ready for a membership, you can book a one-time appointment, sign up for an enrichment-only membership for the healing modalities alone, or schedule a free connection session with one of the care team members to see how the New Biology Clinic can help in your specific situation. This isn't about keeping you dependent on doctors. It's about making you sovereign over your health. Head to newbiologyclinic.com and use code THEWAYFORWARD, and that's spelled the way, F-O-R-W-A-R-D, for $50 off account activation, or just head to the show notes for more info. If you're a member of The Way Forward, email hello@thewayforward.com for $150 off. Your body already knows how to heal, and New Biology Clinic helps you remember. We were designed to live in harmony with nature, with the creator, and with one another. And I do not think that we're doing that consistently in modern life. And that's why it feels so good, so regulating, so calming. You sort of have this feeling of, I can be me. I can relax into who I truly am. I can let go of all of those narratives about me, about the world, all of the fear. Maybe you have some emotions come up, but it's much easier to process those emotions because you're surrounded by such a space of coherence. That's who we truly are. We need each other in person and community. Again, digital spaces can spark an awakening. They can inspire, inform, and even guide us and help us to connect and find each other, of course. But it's not enough to attend Confluence once a year with your people. You can't grow permaculture gardens and community co-ops and raise children together and do, you know, homeschool co-ops and start alternative systems when you're just connecting via these virtual systems. These digital platforms can't replace the kind of trust that only comes from experience showing up, sharing meals, building together, and walking alongside each other through real life. And here's something I'll expand on later on the episode, and you've heard me bring it up a number of times on this podcast and then this episode, coherence. And that coherence amplifies in the presence of others who are also remembering who they are and turning inward. And that's the power of resonance. It's contagious in a true sense, not fictitious viruses or microbes. Those are not contagious. And to reference Confluence again, for anyone who's attended Confluence, you see that firsthand. If the Israel-Iran situation had escalated while we are all gathered there, I'm sure we would have been made aware of it. People would have been talking about it, of course, but most of us probably would not have batted an eye. And it's not because we don't care. It's not because we don't care about innocent people being killed or war escalation or anything like that. It's not because we're spiritually bypassing. It's not because we're checked out, but because the coherence in that space was so strong, we weren't gripped by that fear. We were grounded in who we are. And when that's the frequency, no matter what's unfolding, quote, out there, you know that we'll all be okay because of the strength of the community that you are currently standing on the ground with. Now, imagine those kind of in-person connections existing all over the world. That's exactly why we built the Way Forward's new community platform. It's intended to help people find each other, to dissolve that isolation, to dissolve the doom and gloom narratives, to activate coherence, to help people remember who we are. That's the whole point of what we've built over the last 3 years. It's to help people create exactly what I'm talking about right now. Let me give you an example. So I live in an area of roughly 350,000 people. I live pretty far north of Austin, over 60 miles north of Austin. And there's a lot of people who get it, so to speak, in Austin. And when I say that, by the way, I'm not saying that everyone has to think exactly like you think, believe exactly what you believe, but you know what I'm talking about. There's people who generally are trending in the same direction as you, who know we're disconnected from nature and that's wrong, know the mainstream system is operating on a series of false premises, are questioning their reality, know deep down in their hearts that there's something deeper that we're all pointing to. Those are the people that I'm referring to. In my immediate vicinity, there are roughly 350,000 people. I have no clue how to differentiate who is on that path versus who isn't. Yes, I have a natural grocer's local to me that I can go to and hopefully run into people. Maybe they're wearing a shirt that has a message that I like, but it's really hard to connect with and find like-minded people in my area. There's no place for us to gather. And with The Way Forward, we would eventually like to literally create those in-person places across the world where people can gather, in-person community centers that have biofield tuning practitioners, that have a permaculture design garden out front of it, that have German New Medicine practitioners, that are regularly doing workshops, maybe has a little marketplace where people can bring the products that they've been creating and growing locally, put it inside the little marketplace inside, have weekly gatherings. This is literally what I'm wanting to bring to fruition with The Way Forward, and we'll eventually get to that point. I know we will. But the point that I'm getting at is it's really hard to find your like-minded community near you. I recognize that because I'm struggling with it myself. How do I find them? I know there's a lot of people in my, relatively speaking, densely populated area, but I have no clue where to find those who are of like mind. And that's the whole point of the platform that we've developed. It's so critical for health, for resilience, for preparation, if you're focused on that. But it's not just about surviving. It's about thriving. Again, if you don't know who you can trade with, who you can grow with, homeschool with, and lean on in times of uncertainty, and you're still dependent on the very systems you're trying to step out of, community turns sovereignty from a concept into a lifestyle. It's not an abstraction. It's a real felt lived thing. And like I said, it's not about surviving. It's about thriving in alignment with all the things that I've named, reclaiming who we truly are, remembering who we truly are, modeling coherence for our children, and anchoring into a life that is sacred and remembering what it means to be a human being. And that's why events like Confluence are so incredibly special, because they serve as a sort of micro example of what we're moving towards, what we're trying to build. And again, that doesn't have to be events. It could be that you connect so deeply with the people around you that you're living like it's Confluence all the time in your local area. I really do think that that's possible. And that's the whole purpose of our platform, is to help bring that into existence, is to help bring that to fruition. But Confluence itself is like the physical embodiment of all that we're building towards. And again, it's so hard to describe with words. I said that during Confluence, everyone else said it. Like, how do you even describe what this event is about? There's something to be said about that, ironically. Because you can't describe it with words. Because no matter how much you say like-minded, like-hearted community, freedom, health, truther, any of these labels, it does not adequately describe what Confluence is about. And it's because, likewise, you cannot adequately describe with words who you truly are. And Confluence is a bunch of people who are oriented towards remembering who they truly are at their core. And because that's what they're connecting with, that is what's coming through them. And that's why you cannot describe exactly what it is with words. It can only be felt. And that's why everyone who leaves that event, or at least left this last third version, says that was the most incredible event that I've ever been to. And I'm talking people who've been to a number of events. And I'm not just saying that because I co-produced it. I've said previously, even having produced events myself, that other events were better, that they were a much better event than events that I had produced in the past. But this version of Confluence, this iteration, this third one that we just did in May of 2025, was so incredibly special because it represented not only a turning point in the people who are in this segment of the health, truth, freedom movement, but it also served as a micro example of this new paradigm that we're all midwives for lack of a better term. I want to give you an example of some of the pieces that occurred at Confluence and how they tie back into everything that I'm playing here. So At Confluence, we had 7 kids do a blindfold reading demo for the audience. And the audience was comprised of people who are already bought into that, whether you listen to this podcast or you've heard of Dr. Edith or you've heard it elsewhere, this ability to sense blindfolded that is being activated in children. But there is also plenty of people who are incredibly skeptical of this, despite hearing me and others talk about it. But what occurred was undeniable. 7 kids sitting in front of roughly 750 attendees, reading books, playing chess, performing card tricks, sorting colored cups and paper, solving Rubik's cubes in less than a minute. Some calling out colors behind their heads, non-verbally signaling and responding to each other, members of the audience drawing random pictures with, you know, pretty good detail, and these children describing every single detail of the picture that was in front of them. And doing all of these things with virtually 100%, if not 100% accuracy. And the only reason I'm saying virtually 100% is because I wasn't present for the entire demonstration because I'm also running the event. But in the moments that I saw, 100% accuracy. But 2 moments in particular of this demonstration stood out. And both perfectly illustrate every single thing that I'm talking about right here. So the first involved one of the little kids who's been activated to read blindfolded and activated into blindfolded vision, rather. It's not just about reading, for nearly 5 years at this point. So just before the demo, this little kid was approached by another attendee, I think a man, who was jokingly, but I think aggressively saying, "I don't believe you can do it. I don't believe in your abilities." And it was so detrimental to his confidence and his belief in himself, which is a requirement for this ability. Both Dr. Edith and other people talk about how you have to believe in your own ability, and you actually have to have people around you who also believe in it. Sitting in an energy of doubt can be detrimental to this ability coming online and this ability being carried out, even for someone who's been doing it for 5 years. But that doubt really crept in for this boy. And it confused him to the point where he started second guessing himself and really questioning whether he could do it anymore. And his mom approached me right before the demo started, literally right before I have the mic in my hand, right before I'm starting to announce it on stage. She's like, Alec, we have a major issue. My son was just practicing and he wasn't able to do it because of this man. And she explained the situation to me. But here's the incredible piece. This is such a perfect analogy for what happens with us, but more importantly, what happens when we gather together regularly with people who are embodying the same coherence as us, who are remembering who they are. As soon as this boy sat down next to the other children who are preparing for the demonstration, who share the same ability, who believe, his abilities returned instantly. When he was surrounded by his peers, supported by their coherence, he was suddenly solving Rubik's cubes, doing card tricks, calling out colors behind him. All of it was fully restored. When we're isolated, surrounded by doubt, cynicism, our own limiting beliefs, conditioning of the world, it's very easy for us to be pulled out of that coherence and forget who we truly are. But when we gather among others who are grounded, aligned, and remembering who they are, it helps us remember who we are. And when we remember who we are, we in turn help others remember who they are. And that sends ripple effects through the ether, through the collective energy field, through mankind, across the earth. And that is far more powerful than we can ever begin to grasp. And there's studies that demonstrate this with the Maharishi effect. I covered that during my presentation at Confluence. I'm not going to get into that now, but there are a variety of studies that there's a strong correlation between people focusing their thought energy when they're in a state of coherence towards something and having measurable positive effects on that they're orienting their thought energy towards. And there was another moment that perfectly illustrates some of the things that I'm talking about here that occurred at Confluence as well with respect to the blindfold vision demo. The most beautiful part of the demonstration, aside from that example that I just discussed with this little kid, wasn't even the demonstration itself. Obviously, like, it's even wild that I'm saying that is sort of an secondary to what I'm about to say next. Like, yes, it is incredible to witness 7 children display this incredible, innate, but untapped in most of us ability. It is absolutely incredible to witness this in real time. Maybe because I've seen it before, I wasn't that blown away by it, although I am blown away each time, but I wasn't blown away to the degree that some of the audience was, and that's what I'm about to get into next. The most beautiful part to me was watching grown men and women in the audience weeping at the undeniable reality that they were witnessing in front of them. Weeping. I'm talking people who believed, but also plenty of skeptics, absolutely weeping at what they were witnessing. Weeping not only in awe, but in grief, grief that they too may have once had access to this ability, or they too had that beautiful spark that they're witnessing in these kids inside of them, but lost connection to it through public school conditioning, through familial trauma, through the various ways that this experience sort of wears us down and dims our spark. But the most important thing is that in witnessing these kids demonstrate this ability, there is sort of this recognition in them that this spark still lives within them. And in that moment, they were remembering that spark inside of them by witnessing what they were witnessing in these kids. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what each of these people would articulate regarding why they were crying at witnessing this. And there were so many audience members crying. It was beautiful. But that's what I took from it. Like, that's what I instantly took from it. Like, it's both grief they're experiencing, beauty they're experiencing, and childlike wonder they're experiencing and remembering they're experiencing all in one. That's what I took from it. It was so incredible to witness. By witnessing this in these kids, that beautiful spark shining through them, outwardly expressing as this incredible, again, innate ability, they were also remembering that that spark is still inside of them. And sort of some of the dirt, so to speak, was brushing off of that spark inside of them. So my oldest son is currently activating this ability through Dr. Edith's class. It's called Luminous Kids Blindfold Vision Training, and I can share about it in the show notes. And again, it's one of the most empowering and beautiful things I've ever witnessed, especially to witness it in my own son. And one of the kids in my son's class is already perceiving things consistently, accurately, beyond walls, not just beyond blindfolds. And I know some of the other kids are able to remote view and things like this now. It's really incredible. And again, I think these are all innate abilities that are available to all children. And it just is important to share a larger point with that. This is pointing to who we truly are. I think that we are just scratching the surface on who we truly are. And I know, based on my own direct experience and what I've witnessed, that who we truly are is far more powerful, brilliant, intelligent, capable, worthy, magnificent, and beautiful than we've ever been conditioned to believe, ever. And when it comes to these abilities that I'm discussing, these gatherings, or even the mainstream narratives that I brought up at the beginning of this episode, I think it's important to recontextualize what I've come to perceive about reality itself and how reality is created. And I'm open to being wrong on this, but this is my current perspective based on countless discussions, ruminating on this myself, directly experiencing this myself. I believe reality is an amalgamation of all of our individual thoughts, feelings, beliefs, words, and actions. And I think we're in a constant co-creative dance, not just with each other, but with nature, the celestial bodies, the spirit realm, the ether, et cetera, and then most importantly, God. And I think the more people feed into these fear systems, these control structures, the more real and relevant they actually become. And again, that doesn't mean we don't look at it. We definitely want to have some general awareness of it because others around us are co-creating those things. Other people's beliefs, thoughts, feelings, words, and actions are pulling these narratives into form. So I think we do need to see it, recognize it, and acknowledge the offer being presented, as Tom Barnett says, but we don't give it our energy. We're aware of it, but we don't feed it. And there's a difference between those two things. We don't fixate on it. We don't emotionally attach to it. We simply see it for the offer that it is and choose something better. I think the more we're locally surrounded by people locked into fear, division, and the mainstream narrative, the more important it might be to cultivate our own internal coherence. It is to cultivate our own internal coherence while also staying aware generally of what's being unconsciously co-created around us. But, and this is the most important piece, as we intentionally gather with like-hearted people in our own communities, those reconnecting with nature, remembering who they are, dissolving illusions of authority, and birthing a new way forward for mankind, the less and less we need to be aware of the collapsing paradigm. its relevance sort of starts to dissolve in the presence of something stronger, something real. And as my good friend Eileen McCusick says, and you hear me say this on this podcast all the time, a strong coherent field overtakes and entrains weaker incoherent fields. Basically, by being incredibly strong and coherent and being that way pretty consistently, you help to overtake and entrain and bring into coherence the other people around you. And another one of my friends, Veda Austin, for those who don't know her, she studies water in a very unique way. I think if you just say you study water, that could mean a lot of things. I've done some episodes with her. Maybe we'll throw those in the show notes. Please check out Eileen and Veda's work. Like it's shifted my life in a way that I can't even begin to articulate. And that's why I bring their work up on so many episodes. But one of Veda's experiments that she's done really stands out, in my opinion. I won't say above the rest, but stands out as it pertains to what I'm talking about here. So Veda, when she freezes the albumin from free-range eggs, it forms this beautiful crystallography. So eggs coming from chickens, raised as chickens are supposed to be raised. The crystallography in the frozen albumin using Veda's unique freezing method is so unbelievably beautiful, reflecting the energetic imprints on eggs coming from chickens who are raised as chickens are supposed to be raised. Conversely, when she does the same freezing technique with eggs coming from caged chickens, so eggs coming from chickens who were pumped with hormones, antibiotics, in a perpetual state of fight or flight, disconnected from other chickens, under fluorescent lights, pumped with vaccines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, fed an unnatural diet, the frozen albumin has no clear crystallography. It's in a state of discord. But here's the most important thing. When she places the caged egg next to a free-range egg overnight and then freezes it, the caged egg shows improved crystallography, improved coherence, just by having been in proximity to the coherent field, the strong coherent field of the free-range egg. And then you might say, well, that's one free-range egg affecting one caged egg, as if that's not already incredible enough. And again, it's visible to the naked eye in Veda's experiment. As if that's not beautiful enough. And you might be thinking, well, I'm just one person, or we're just one relatively small niche group. What can we do? So Veda repeated the exact same thing again with 12 caged eggs surrounding one free-range egg. So 12 caged eggs surrounding one free-range egg. After one night, all 12 caged eggs showed improved crystallography. The free-range egg itself still had this beautiful coherence as well. So just by being in proximity to one single free-range egg, all 12 caged eggs had improved in their coherence because they were in the presence of a strong coherent field. They're in the presence of a chicken, or sorry, they were in the presence of an egg that was coming from a chicken that was acting and behaving as a chicken is supposed to be acting and behaving. And she also set aside a caged egg and a free-range egg from the same batches respectively as controls, showing very clearly what the caged eggs would have looked like had they not been in proximity to the free-range egg. Think about that. Let that sit in your heart for a little bit. If that's any indication of what we're capable of as well, when we're coherent, when we're remembering who we are, when we're expressing authentically, how freaking powerful are we? How powerful are we when we gather together in community, creating concentric rings of that very thing that I was just referring to? Again, I believe we're just scratching the surface on that. And like I said earlier, regarding the Maharishi effect and how this applies to human beings, there's plenty of examples of studies showing strong correlations between people who are sitting in heart coherence together, orienting their thought energy towards something and having a measurable positive impact on that thing. So this power that we have is not hypothetical, in my opinion. It's pretty well documented at this point, and it's been buried for a reason. And there's a flip side of that too when it comes to mass psychogenic illness, mass social contagion. There's also individual examples of that when it comes to the placebo effect, nocebo effect, psychosomatics, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, when we remember who we are and we do it collectively, we remember how powerful we are and we do it collectively, I fundamentally believe that it is game over for those systems that rely on our fear and fragmentation. The more we gather in person and coherence and remembrance in alignment with health, truth, freedom, and the more we amplify those fields across the earth, the more we begin to bring into fruition, to actualize, to bring into reality this new paradigm that we all know is possible. There's a recent poll that I put out on all my social media channels, and 95% of people responded that they're struggling to find their health and freedom community in person. And don't get me wrong, these platforms, these devices that you're listening to or watching this podcast on right now are great for helping to disseminate information, helping us, you know, find like-minded people to validate us, but they are not a replacement for real in-person community. At the core of our new community platform is a powerful, easy-to-use map helping you to instantly connect with like-hearted, like-minded community, including men and women, farms, schools, practitioners of all types, and other businesses near you. The platform also includes groups, social functions, messaging, and Platinum members also get access to our content library with footage from all of our in-person and virtual events like Confluence and the end of COVID, as well as breathwork sessions, Qigong sessions, member Q&As, and also member community calls. So if you'd like to support this podcast and support our mission of helping people to connect hyper-locally, in person, and also, obviously, support yourself in the process, go to the show notes or just go to thewayforward.com/join. And again, the way forward is spelled thewayfwrd.com/join. Become a member today. Help us build the way forward for mankind. I truly believe in what we're creating with the way forward. Like, I believe in it so much. That's why if you knew the full story of what it took to bring this platform into reality, given that I first came up with this idea in 2021, if you knew the trials and tribulations to bring this into reality, most people would have been like, all right, I guess it's not in the cards for me. But I believe in this so much what we're doing, that we continue to work our butts off on bringing it into reality despite all the roadblocks to finally get us here. But here we are. And I believe so much in the power of gathering together in person. I believe so much in the power of us. I believe so much in this new paradigm that we're birthing together, that I push and advocate for this platform. That's why. Because I truly believe in the power of everything that I brought up here, the power of gathering in person, and the power of connection and finding our like-minded community so we can help birth a new paradigm together. So our new platform functions as a private membership association, and there are a lot of reasons for that. You can read it in the member agreement. But the way that it works, and it works so well, it's so easy to use. You can type in your zip or postal code or type in your address or type in some random address near you because you don't want to feed the computer your address specifically, and then set a custom radius and find all the like-minded people who are also members of the Way Forward near you in your local area, no matter where you are across the earth. But it's not only like-minded people, it's also like-minded businesses of a variety of types. We have that broken down on our business directory. You can find farms, practitioners, alternative schools near you, even the Way Forward gathering hubs, which are just serving as places where our community can gather together regularly. Maybe if you have a Way Forward gathering hub, you can throw it on there on our website. Or if you're a practitioner, you can join our website. Farmer, you run an alternative school. Or maybe you're just looking to build an alternative school near you. So that's where you gather with other like-minded people who are local to you, which you can find on our platform. And then you guys all build a school and throw it on the platform. And again, this is available across the world. It's so easy to use. And the whole point is to help us connect with our like-minded, like-hearted, health, freedom, coherent community near us so that we can help birth the new paradigms. We can start actually bringing them into fruition instead of just talking about them in a very abstract way. We can actually start living the new paradigm in our local area. In addition to that, we also have a bunch of social functionality on the website, sort of functioning like a cross between Facebook and Twitter. We also have groups. As people start to join in large amounts in specific areas, we also form groups pertaining to that local area. So for example, we have a lot of people on the East Coast of Australia, so we're creating a group for Australian East Coast. We also have a lot of people in Central Texas, also have a lot of people in Southern California, also have a lot of people in New England. So we'll have groups there so you can not only find the individuals near you, but you can find larger groups near you. And we've also just launched an ambassador program, and we'll eventually spin it off into chapters of the Way Forward across the world. And then the part that I'm most excited for bringing into fruition is starting these, the Way Forward community centers, which I brought up earlier, which will be hopefully fully funded by our members and of course available to our members. We're going to explore different ways to fund these projects, but we want them to be for our members, by our members, and having our members continue to grow these across the world. And for those who missed any of the last three editions of Confluence, if you would like to watch the talks from Confluence, Platinum members can get access to those talks on the Way Forward platform for free, available to Platinum members, like I said. Also, any of the in-person and virtual events that I've done over the years will also be available on the platform for Platinum members. So the end of COVID content is all on the platform. Even the Health Freedom Pre-Humanity Symposium all the way back in 2021 is available on the platform as well. We also have guest Q&As from several of the podcast guests that I feature. We do Q&As with them. We have breathwork, yoga, Qigong regularly occurring on our platform. We have men's calls, women's calls. We have terrain wellness club meetings. We have homeopathy Q&As. We have a number of awesome things that go on our platform for Platinum members. And then we also have several members who offer things on the platform as well, available to Platinum members. So if you're not only looking for that in-person connection, but would also like to have some of the virtual connection and continue to explore these ideas that are discussed on this podcast in a deeper way, you can join as a Platinum member. And also, if ultimately you like what we do with the Way Forward and you want to see us to continue to build and grow, this is how you support us, by becoming a member, by supporting yourself, really. And I want to end by saying this. When we look back on COVID, yes, it was traumatic. Yes, it was very hard to go through. But I'll speak for myself here, and I'm sure many of you would agree with this. I am so grateful for that situation. I'm so grateful because it's deepened my self-exploration. It's made me really look at my values, what's important to me. It's helped me deepen my authentic expression of who I truly am. It's helped me find all you incredible people. It's helped me get to the point of doing what I'm currently doing right now. And I can't imagine a better vocation. I really feel like I'm on my path doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it feels absolutely incredible. And I think it's because I recognize the offer that COVID was. Yes, it was incredibly hard. Yes, I lost friends and family members. Yes, I was ostracized by so many people. Yes, I almost got in trouble by the Army for doing what I did, because I started doing it while I was still an officer in the Army. But I'm so grateful for that, albeit very hard and challenging experience, because it has brought me to this point. I think that we're in this bifurcation between people going towards the transhumanist side of things and what's natural, remembering who we truly are. And this example, whatever is unfolding right now in the world, is just a continuation of what happened with COVID. It's just another offer that we can choose how to approach. Are we using this as a catalyst to remember who we truly are, to deepen what we should be doing anyway, the connecting with other people, the self-exploration, the authentic expression, the remembering who we truly are? Because that's what I'm going to be using it as. I'm using it as an opportunity. I'm using it as a catalyst to further accelerate my unfolding and remembering who I truly am and my way forward, so to speak. So take a deep breath. We've got this. We're all remembering who we truly are, and we are building a new paradigm that will make the old one obsolete. We are birthing this new incredible future that we all know is possible. And I'm so, so grateful for all of this, for all that we're building together, for all that we will build together, for this new paradigm that we're birthing, that we're the midwives of. I don't know whether we're the ones that are birthing it or whether we're the midwives of the new paradigm, maybe both, but I'm just so grateful for all of you for being on this journey, on this ride with me, for those who continue to tune in, for those who continue to build in your own community in your own way, for those who continue to show up and act as examples of coherence, acting as free-range eggs, so to speak, across the world. So thank you all. Thank you all so much for being a part of this. And I look forward to the future that we're all creating together, this beautiful new paradigm that we all know is possible, that sits deep within our hearts as we continue to remember who we are.